You're listening to the Fox in a Phoenix podcast, understanding the feminine cross-dressing experience.
I'm Savannah Hawk, dual gender male to female cross-dresser, LGBTQ plus advocate, TEDx speaker, and author of the Living with Cross-Dressing book series.
And I'm Julie Rubenstein, proud ally and co-founder of foxandhanger.com, a feminine styling and life coaching service for cross-dressers and transgender women.
Hey, Julie.
Hi, Savannah.
How are you, sweetie?
I'm good.
You're good? How is your January going so far?
My January is cool. I mean, the usual. Sometimes I'm depressed. Often I'm anxious. And like, we show up here every Sunday, you know?
Every Sunday. Got to record it. Got to keep the people getting what they want.
And how are your intentions going?
Fantastically non-existent, but I did get the first draft of my story done. So that was definitely something I had resolved to do, not intended to do, but I did resolve and intend and get it done. And we had talked about a few episodes ago about my intention to be more in tune with my body image. So I've been doing that for a few months now, making sure I put that on Instagram and do full body shots and be more in love with who I am. Versus just being scared to show anything below the shoulders.
And I'm ripped now. Like, I don't have a 2-pack, I have a 4-pack.
Sweet.
And I've gone to the gym every morning that I could because my walking around the track isn't working. And I finally told my friend that, like, I just need more. 2 times a morning that I go to the gym.
Nice. So you're crushing it. Hey, you remember when we talked about how I accidentally sent a text message to my girlfriend's youngest daughter and had a book link to it to Living with Cross-Dressing when I was at Starbucks. Do you remember that?
Yes. And it went well.
It ended up going well, but I was in utter panic mode. And then, you know, Judy had to say, you know, this sounds like an opportunity.
As, it really was.
Yes. As we're all texting each other individually, I'm texting Judy. Judy's texting Michelle. Michelle's texting me. And I'm texting Misty, also my cousin, going, oh, my God, that just happened. What do I do? So, hey, but you know what? That was months ago. But we have here in the studio for just a few moments.
Oh, my God. No lovely, pressure. You're really building.
Lovely, lovely, amazing, and beautiful Michelle.
Ah, here she is.
Hello.
Hello. This is our first like guest.
Yes. Well, she is our first in studio guest. Absolutely.
She's a walk on. She's a hello, which I love. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
And I just want to say, first of all, I know I said this to you on the phone, but how much I appreciate being the first daughter of Judy's to have Savannah come out to. I mean, you have been her greatest support. I know you sent her makeup. Mm-hmm. And that is, I mean, I may cry, but that is like been foundational to her even getting to this point.
Yes.
Where she has a podcast, she feels good about her voice. And like, you will always be so special to me because of the history you have and how you've helped get Savannah to this point. So thank you.
It was an honor. And I'm lucky to know her and to love her.
So beautiful.
Yeah.
I can continue.
We just need one person. It just takes one person who's going to be your cheerleader, who's going to see you.
That's very
just
true.
Just one person. Yep. That's
right. And what did that do? That allowed Judy to take that one interaction and blossom it into sharing with all the other kids.
Mm-hmm. And right. And it's amazing as we stand here and 2022. Mm-hmm. That's it, right? I got it right.
Yes, you did. Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding. Just how much growth you've had. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. Just the fact that that has led to Judy getting even more prepared to have this like road trip, which you did. You should get t-shirts of like Judy tells her girls and then have like a year mark. What year was that?
2021. That's right.
That was so yesterday. That was like so like.
That was so like last year.
Totally.
Totally.
But yeah, I don't know. I'm geeking out because I feel like I'm meeting a celebrity in your life. Like, this is your life. Kid finds out. I but feel it's the same best way. Kid ever because she's kind of magical and kind of a fairy.
She's a unicorn.
Awesome. She is.
She's both yeah, beautiful unicorn. Absolutely. That's why, like you said, I feel the same way about her being like an amazing cheerleader and supporter. And I think I cried the first time she sent me makeup with the beautiful little note. And I think I shared that. Yeah, I did. I did. Yeah.
I didn't know.
I know. This conversation has made several of the early episodes because
yes.
You have been a pioneer in the life of Miss Savannah in terms of her growth. And
yes.
I mean, now the neighbors know. What else? What next?
What next? You know? I think I told the local raccoon as well, and
oh, see him pulse by
it. But it's been an amazing experience,
you're
and welcome. Amazing that you. Thank you so much. And yeah, it's just amazing to have people in your lives that support and celebrate you. More importantly, celebrate who you are versus just like, oh, okay, great. Let's not ever talk about it again. Mm-hmm. And that has not been Michelle. Michelle has been all about it.
First of all,
yes,
that builds trauma, and I have like PTSD just even saying that. Okay. I am just anytime that you can like say what you need to say and air shit as well as have an accidental outing fall on such a like beautiful, sparkly cushion.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Agreed. Agreed.
So well,
it worked out really well. You guys felt comfortable telling me too.
It's perfect. Isn't that funny how that happens? Like when something happens and your shit just gets exposed and it's, you know, or someone tells you something and you're like the chosen person for which this to happen in terms of like what I'm trying to get you to believe in, but like the universe, like mm-hmm. the bigger picture of things that you can't measure or things that you can't explain. They're just like karmic, whatever it is.
Yeah. And also the fact that I was very surprised with Judy in that moment that she went like completely the opposite of what I expected her to do, which was, oh my gosh, shut it down, make something up. And she's like, let's use it as an opportunity. And that was kind of a growth moment for Judy too, to say it's out there. Let's roll with it and see what happens.
All right. But can I just, all right. So for those of you listening, Michelle is like hunched over the screen. And I just want to know if she's physically okay. Like she is like, her body is tight and right, like early Britney's, but like, I can't tell if she's uncomfortable right now. And no one is asking.
I'm comfortable.
Are you okay? Do you want a chair? Are you going to drop
okay.
a day?
I'm okay.
If we were to do okay. a long-term interview with her, I definitely would put her on a stool or
of course.
A milk yes. crate or something. So.
And I would definitely ask.
But, but this is just such an opportunity. And all right, so I have one more question for you before you like have to just continue to just straddle your legs, brace your body before you collapse. So when Savannah told you, mm-hmm. do you remember the outfit you had on?
I do not, but I remember where I was.
Where were you?
I was sitting on my bed and I was just laying there. And I know it was during the daytime. And I believe my boyfriend was at work because I had ended up asking Savannah if I could tell my boyfriend later on during the day. And
yeah.
she had said yes. So I know it was during the day and I was on my bed. And I remember how I felt as well. I think that's important.
How did you feel?
I was happy. I felt honored to be a part of the experience and that Savannah was comfortable enough to tell me. And yeah, I felt very happy.
And I know that for Savannah, you have kind of been her touchstone in terms of someone who isn't her direct partner that she's with every day, but you have kind of been that extension for her to what family is and, mm-hmm. and what continues to be in terms of like your expansion with Savannah integrating into the bigger family. Chuck has always felt a sense of like deep connectivity to Judy's family. So just the fact that there was an opening and have that attachment, have that bridge, have that Savannah bridge connected to you, I think for so long was so important and so necessary. And I think that that's why, like, I know Savannah and she's a very, very patient person, but I think that's how she could survive mm-hmm. and let Judy be Judy and do this work kind of on her own. I think that if it wasn't, it would just be a hard US, but she had you. Savannah had you to be able to be like, this is the person within my family that I chose. Meaning uh-huh. Chuck to the extended, now Savannah to the extended. I mean, there's a survival in that and knowing that like, it's not, and for Judy too, right? I can imagine for your mother, especially the early severe trauma that Judy experienced in terms of like what cross-dressing is. Like that is foundational in the same way as if a child experienced whatever it is. I mean, that memory creates your later experiences. That's where kind of prejudice come from, that knee-jerk reaction. So of course, if it was housed, like this is a wrong thing to do. There's something about your partner that is inherently wrong on like a societal frame. And so now Judy has this person that, I mean, she calls you her baby bird.
she does.
That is so precious to her heart, being able to share this, even, you know, share this for a little while she figures out how brave she is to tell the extended family. Your mom is mom, right? And so there's only so much a mother, a mother can expose before their kids are just like, wait, you're here for me. You know what I mean? Like this is too radical or too wild. Like, or she's very protective of her partner and she wants to know that you love Chuck. And loving Chuck means loving Savannah, but such a discreet situation.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And I was excited for the rest of the family to find out about Savannah too. In my head, I was like, I can't imagine this going any differently than how it went with me, with everyone else, but I can imagine it was scary, very scary. And I'm glad it ended up the way that it did and that I could be the first person, even if it was an accident.
Right. And how proud are we of Judy? Like, how proud are we of your mom to be able to get to this space?
Very proud, very proud. I'm glad that it worked out the way that it did. Like I really am. And I feel like it probably made my mom feel more brave, you know, just in general.
Judy had a very specific thought of what could happen and see that that's not the case or can be a different way, can go a positive way. Michelle was that perfect conduit to be like, see, mom, it's not so scary. It can be perfect and be accepted. Exactly. So, yeah.
Part of loving these people, these dual gender individuals, these transgender individuals, is we, meaning myself, Judy, you, we need to dig down through all the prejudice we have about this, including Savannah. Like, just dig down and be like, okay, like this was taught to us that it was wrong. And so that's why for so many, it's important to understand the historical lens of this. Like, where did this start? Like, how old was I when someone taught me about how you show up, the our expression and gender and all that? And now we're in a place where you're, how old are you?
27.
You're at such a sweet spot in the fact that you can see this change. And we're just like old, like I'm 42. And I know I'm 42 because I asked Kate, I'm like, I'm 43. She's like, we're 42, bitches. Like, don't forget that. Like, I'm at the point where you forget my age, which means I've been through a hell ton of trauma and somehow like turn the shit around. And here's this other generation that's very accepting. We hold to our shames and our traumas so tightly until someone fucking tackles it out of our hands.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right.
This was an intro that may become an episode. an episode in itself, because I do think it's a port or a blue sky. So thank you for hanging literally from your from your long, gorgeous lips and listening to me just gush on you.
No, thank you for having me. And I'm very glad I could have met you and been a part of this.
And let's be friends forever. I think we should get our best friends necklace. We could cut it in three and Savannah could have one part and you could have another part and I could have another part.
Oh, you're so cute, all of you.
Okay. Well, so nice to meet you. And I won't keep you for any longer. I'll let you and Judy get back to your murder mystery shows.
It was nice to meet you too.
So nice to meet you. And thank you for stopping by our lovely little planet. Love you. Bye.
Bye. See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
See you.
Bye. Work, bitch. She is lovely.
She is. She is definitely amazing. You know, she gets that from her mom.
Yeah, she does.
They're staying with us for a few days, Michelle and her boyfriend and their little puppy dog.
We've
just been chilling.
My heart just feels like it's grown 1,000 times
Aww.
Beyond my frame.
Mm.
Anywho, what are we talking about?
I know, it's like almost like, how do you follow that up? Because you're right, that could have been an episode.
But we're still recording.
Yes, we are.
But I want to ask you, like, how did that feel? How was that for you?
It was awesome. It was awesome for me to hear that from her lips. She has told me these things. This is not something that I'm not unaware of.
Right.
But to hear it in person being told to somebody else, you know, in love languages, they say that if you share something positive about somebody to somebody else, that actually is even more endearing. Because right. It's one thing for me to tell you something to your face. It's another thing for somebody to say something about you to somebody else in a positive right. way. And so for me to hear her speak to you about it mm-hmm. is it just endearing and fills my heart and makes me very warm and fuzzy.
I loved her. And I love the fact that Judy was sitting so everyone who's listening, Judy was sitting so quietly.
She was.
I wondered whether or not I was going to say it, that she was here, but I'm going to let you guys in on that little secret.
Yes, I had Michelle on one over one shoulder, and I had Judy on the other shoulder.
She's really tall, right?
Yes, she's tall and amazing and beautiful.
And gorgeous. And not gorgeous, that we're yes. looks people, but we are.
we're just trying to paint a picture. That's all.
Right.
So anyway, you were asking me a moment ago, what is our topic?
And
that's okay. And that's awesome. Like I said, I would love to have just had a 2-hour conversation with Michelle dishing. Right. But this topic actually kind of fits into the narrative of this, you know, telling people you know.
Yeah.
And I wanted to, and this was before we got on air, is that I had chosen this topic, but I didn't really know how well it would fit into the narrative of our warm-up with Michelle and this topic. But what I wanted to bring to you was an Instagram message I received. This is a partner of a cross-dressing person. So they say, "Hi, Savannah. My boyfriend came out to me about 6 months ago, and I bought your book right away to understand. Mm. What you say and what he says matches almost identically. Thank you so much for writing and sharing." So we talked for a bit. Mm-hmm. And then she said, and this is really the most important part that I wanted for us to discuss today. "I think my partner is pretty comfortable. However, they're dealing with secrecy in society. So I definitely am trying to be supportive. I didn't realize how to show support until I read your book. The thing I'm having a hard time understanding right now is that he sometimes shuts down and just needs to run away to cross-dress. I assume he is stressed and needs to find a way to de-stress. I'm someone who loves to talk things through about everything," and that's in capitals. "And I find myself wondering and asking, now I know your secret and I am understanding, so why do you still need to run away?"
Mm.
I feel that this is a common occurrence that, you know, we share ourselves or are discovered or we reveal ourselves to others. And we still fall back into the same trappings of hiding ourselves away.
Right.
So while this lovely lady read the book, done the parallel work to say, oh, my boyfriend's saying something very similar. So I can see how it's being supported by the book I'm reading is education. But yet I now know, and I've told them I'm supportive, but yet they still tend to run away and do it without me. What does that say for how they're feeling about themselves, even though I know and have told them on many occasions that I'm okay with this and I support you in this?
Mm. Something that you said that really, everything that you said really speaks to a lot of information that I've acquired over the years, both personally and kind of professionally, that trauma lives inside the body. OCDs, you know, obsessive compulsive disorder, why we have certain hangups, how we hold our fork or how we, you know, do or don't purchase this item or, you know, whatever it is. So unless we have some sort of trauma therapy or really utilize therapy in different modules, whether we directly go towards meditation or healing or do some sort of internal work on ourselves, we will continue to run away. Now, when looking at it through a cross-dressing lens, what I wrote is when you said, I wrote, trauma lives in the body. And I also wrote, running away for this person is a part of their ritual. Once you take away the ritual of that, it's very hard to find some other way to be unless something big shifts in your being. If this partner, even if they, you know, this one's reading a book, this one is saying, I love you, it doesn't mean that this other partner, maybe this other partner hasn't done any work around it. Maybe they're just like, okay, this person accepts me. And you'd think that that should be enough. But when it comes to trauma and when it comes to whatever led to this person always doing it on the down low, that has soothing properties. Not only does it have trauma that they're running from, but the ritual of doing anything you do every day that brings you pleasure, that maybe has a little danger to it, whatever it is.
Or comfortable routine.
Right, this routine. Yeah. I mean, it is very hard. Like it should be. And you and I'm sure you would think this way, or like maybe some other people would think this way in the sense that all someone ever wants is love and acceptance. All someone really wants is someone's ability to do the work and then ask the questions and this and that. But what happens when you have that? There's some other part of this traumatic experience that is the cross-dressing experience that it's not that, okay, or else everyone would be in this like 1950s Truman Show-esque bullshit where you're just like, everything's perfect. I mean, there are couples out there that we are friends with, maybe, that we have met, maybe, that seem very close to perfect. Or you going to Starbucks, or you having these rave reviews from Judy and her family. Like that is very idyllic, no matter if people can see the steps along the way or not, just hearing this person's, you know, dilemma they're having shows that the world is hard and it's more painful and there's so much stuff to it that even if you have all the boxes ticked off, you got the supportive partner, you got they're willing to do the research, ask the questions, there's still so much darkness still there.
Yeah, agreed.
Left to heal and sort out.
Oh yeah, I mean one of the things I said, well, did you both read the book? You know, because they said they read the book on, you know, to learn. I said, well, did your boyfriend read the book? It's like, well, I'm going to get to him, you know, as a present. I'm like, oh, that's cute. Yeah, that's very cute. But I thought the same thing is that, well, maybe the crossdresser themselves is still struggling through so many things. And one of the things I found both in this instance and in other situations that I've kind of heard about this, why does my partner knows I know, but still hides it away. And I found that some of it has to do with shame. Some of it is so shame-based. And in that, I've realized and done some research that shame is not a very overt emotion. Anger is overt. Love and passion is overt. They're very strong emotions. Whereas shame is very lingering and very underbelly and it kind of creeps up on you. Yeah. And while we say, well, I was afraid, the fear is the overt emotion, but it stemmed from this very underlying nuanced shame that is the actual trigger for why we have fear or why we have the need to abandon something or the need to run away and hide ourselves away is because of shame. Mm-hmm. So in my research for that, because even I was like, well, how do I, you know, tell somebody how to overcome shame? And you hit it on the head with couple of your notes earlier, which is professional support, finding that person to talk to that can help you work through, root out the cause of shame, the root cause for whatever. If it's not shame, what is that root cause? If you don't do the work, you're not going to look for it. But if you are doing the work, you may scratch the surface of those triggers. But you also need to say, okay, I kind of know where this came from. But I need to be brave enough to dig deeper. And then what are those things I can do to elevate myself out of that of shame, to be better and to understand that shame is this kind of archaic emotion or this archaic sense that drives you in many, many different ways. But it really is a lot of times forgotten because we feel the other emotions that are associated with it. So the things I looked into, meditative routines, the things that you've told me many a time to look in that mirror and have self-affirmations, and say that I am beautiful and I am perfect and I am normal and everything I am is true.
It's you know, a those daily things, practice.
Yeah,
like it's a daily. It's not just like I mean, even today when I was getting ready for this podcast, I am 80%, 85% miserable in my life right now. And things aren't. No, it's cool. It's cool. This is a positive statement. I am in this area where I'm like, okay, it's January. I got to turn this shit around. Like I've had an entire year to just be like, well, the year before was some shit, right? And like kind of like recover from that. But then be like, oh my God, like I was at a point for several years in my life where I put in the effort to being in tip-top physical shape. It's like I'm staring at the bottom of a barrel and just being like, this is your choice you have.
Right.
And just listening to this significant other that kind of reach out to you today, it is just a reminder. It is your job in life to find a good therapist. I was going to say, like, get into therapy. But there are shitty people at their job. So it does involve being open enough or being, you know, clear enough about what you want in a therapist to like find that right fit for you.
Yeah.
Because the first part of your life or up until now or up until when you get to therapy, you got to learn how to deal with all the bullshit that you were fed and given and all the trauma and all the shortcomings and all that. You have to spend the rest of your life surviving after surviving all that, like, you know what I mean? And so in order to thrive, you're just going to constantly relearn that all the shit back then that you thought was just not true. And this is how it formed diseases in your body.
Yes,
and this is how it's making you not able to connect with a partner that's literally sitting next to you and saying, I see you.
Yes.
I love you. You're a fucking crossdresser, but you don't have to run anymore. You don't. You can run towards me. You can run into my arms. I see you and it's okay. Here's a weighted blanket. No one's going to take you. You're safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And I feel that while our partners tell us they are supportive and show us they're supportive, we always have that niggling feeling in the base of our brain saying, they're just saying that to not hurt my feelings.
Right.
It's too good to be true. The other shoe is going to drop. Everything I've learned up to this moment in my illustrious life has indoctrinated me to believe that can't possibly be true. That it's taken us years to be indoctrinated into our belief system.
Yeah.
So it is not something that we can unravel and unlearn and relearn and retrain ourselves within a matter of days.
Mm-mm.
It's like saying, I gained 30 pounds over 2021 and it took me 365 days to do it. And then having the wrong belief that I can shed all that weight within a month.
Right.
It took you a year to put it on. It's going to take you a little more than a month to take it off, even with your best efforts. So when we talk about lifelong indoctrination of feeling marginalized, othered, tabooed, abnormal, mentally ill, everything that tells us, it has told us in our however long we've lived, that everything we believe ourselves to be is wrong and gross and disgusting. It takes a long time to undo that.
Yeah.
And so for this partner who's like, I love you, come into my arms and I will hold you in my space. That is an amazing moment. Trust me, I'm a pure belief that the boyfriend is like, oh my God, this is such amazing that I'm feeling this love right now. Mm-hmm. But yet that moment of love and acceptance and celebration, unfortunately, is not the chisel that cracks wide open the indoctrination of all the things that have been built up over the years.
Right. And there's a fight or flight response, I believe, of the opposite of that inner saboteur that will say, no, don't trust this bullshit. Don't trust this. Don't let them in. You know, you're going to get hurt.
Yeah.
And I had this with my in-laws for a while where all they want to do is spend time with me. All they want to do is to be close. And like, we're going on this family trip coming up and like, I'm already thinking about how I'm going to get away. Like my survival instinct is already like, okay, you know, when I was a kid and we go to all the Aruba, Jamaica, like we do all these things and I would pull the shades, I'd be in the darkness. And just the idea that outside the darkness of my routine of doing this, to believe in my body that there's fun and love out there and like experience out there, you can't just like put down all the baggage. Like you say, mm-hmm. you can't just do it in a week. You can't just put down all the baggage. You'd be like, okay, I believe you. You're not so going to traumatize me. You're not going to like, right? Like I'm not going to be dissociating the entire time.
Yeah. I'm not going to get burned by this experience by opening my heart wholeheartedly. Yeah. It's a process. And while the girlfriend that I've been speaking to seems very concerned, they're asking all the questions of how can I do this? And asking the questions too for themselves is like, well, why do I feel bad? I tell him I'm supportive, but yet I feel like I'm losing something of myself because all he wants to do now is go off and cross-dress at every opportunity. So then I had to explain the pink fog, explain the now that they have license to dress, it's like an all or nothing proposition, trying to get in all those moments they've lost over the years. Right. And that's a process. So understanding that both the cross-dressing partner is dealing with their own trauma, that they need to find the root causes and do the self-analysis and do the work for their own confidence and normalcy of self. And then this partner who is like, I love you and I support you and I want us to go through this journey together.
Let's make a cake. Let's go do a couple's like cross-dressing thing. And it's very hard for that significant other to know this person not only is on furlough right now from prison, but they are free. They're free. So they need to spend all this time. It's kind of like being a teenager or going through any phase where suddenly, you know, whatever it is that you need to experience, you need to let them experience, you need to give them the space. You can't be the best cross-dressing, like the best significant other of a cross-dresser that ever exists if you don't give them the space to kind of fly around a little. They'll come back, but it involves, like I told people when I married Scott, it involves a solid anchor and a super, 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 super long string for which they're going to fly around. Like for me, that was the only way that I could get married, is to know that my person understands that just give me enough space to just venture out on my own due to all this trauma and let me freaking have so many experiences that don't involve you. It's not even funny. But if you're not like that, like if it's just an average case and you're not an independent person like I am, wanting to see and do and return to somewhere very, very grounded, you still have to have that modality of being able to give them a lot of leeway now that they're free. They've just, you've just opened the window on this experience and they're like, you're like, I love you. And so now there's a part of them that needs to let you go and be and see and do so that you can return to the appropriate length A-line skirt, you know, having conversations about your cross-dressing with your person, those kind of things. You got to let them, it's kind of like you got to let a teenager be a teenager. And if you want them to come to you and talk to you, don't judge them. Don't ask them a million questions. Just be there.
Yeah.
And they will continue to come to you and want to show you things.
True. But yet that what we just talking about now, absolutely. In a normal case, that would probably be the normal process over a period of time. But if that crossdresser is wholly and only has been doing this in secret and in private, they might not even know how to do it differently.
Yeah.
So in that regard, what I ventured as a solution is that because one, she's concerned about losing her boyfriend as a man, because all he wants to do is pursue the feminine side, because like you said, they're free and they have all this license to do it. And with all that arrested development prior to this moment of like, okay, I see you. Now it's like an all or nothing proposition. They're trying to catch up from every lost moment they ever had. And I said, well, why don't you do this? Why can't you have two date nights? I want to support you, but I also have my own needs as your partner. So I would love to have a boy girl date night. And I would love to have a girl girl date night or outing or whatever. That way they can understand, the cross-dressing partner can say, oh, I will have a routine. I will have something I'm doing with my partner that I know I can count on for the most part, unless, you know, something comes up. Mm-hmm. And then also the partner, the female partner, can say, oh, I also get, I get the joy of being part of my cross-dressing partner's life in their feminine expression. And what, and I don't lose the male expression. That way you grow in the understanding of the feminine side. You still keep your masculine side that you've enjoyed up to now. And you show your partner support, and you show that there can be normalcy, and you show them there can be a routine. You don't have to chomp at the bit every second of every moment of all the stuff you didn't get to do, and now you have to do it. Maybe you can explore that together or not.
Yeah.
But it's nice to have that boundary set so that you both are gaining from the experience.
And it's part of what you sign up for when you let your partner know that you're a crossdresser, or when they find out, or when that things are suddenly open. Now that things are suddenly open, you're not a single chick anymore out on the road. You're not suddenly, you know, it's gone beyond just the Facebook groups and the hey baby on Messenger, and it's got into a realm where your person knows. And so now you need to throw a doggy a bone, so to speak. You need to say, okay, let her in a little bit, let her see you, or let her, you know, she's there. You know, you're not single anymore, basically. You've got a girlfriend and you've been together for this amount of time, or you're married. And that's the thing in terms of your dreams coming true about your person loving you for your authentic self. That's part of it, is letting them in and not, and trust me, I'm the queen of running away. Okay. But we're promoting togetherness Tuesday on this episode.
Well, you and I are together once a week, every week. So
we are. No, we're committed. So still married, people. Still married after 15 years. No, 13. Been together 15.
I want to encapsulate this to everything you just said. You need to let them fly a little bit. You need to give them some length of rope to explore the space now that they have license to do so. But also that grounding of knowing your person is there and supporting you. Also not forgetting about your partners that who wants to be on the journey with you. You're not flying solo anymore, nor do you need to. One of the things that's most important to my heart is knowing that my partner is not ashamed to go out with me in public. You know, as Savannah, it's like knowing we can go to dinner at any time and just have a conversation where you don't even see the feminine expression anymore. You just see the person you're with. And that's uber important too. I mean, yes, there's a different kind of dynamic spiritually when it comes to the femininity that you embody. But knowing that your partner is like, oh, let's go to dinner. Oh, you're dressed as Savannah? Cool, let's go. And just knowing that it's all good. And that as the cross-dressing partner, you'll start to realize more and more and more, one, the normalcy of being out and how others perceive you as a couple. You know, the wait staff and the people who take you to your seat or wherever you might go to the movies, and the ticket taker didn't like even say a second word to you or give you a different look. And your own partner being along with you to just be at your side and take your hand and enjoy you in all your feminine glory. Yeah, super, super important. I think that the more you do that, the more the cross-dresser themselves can say, huh, all that stuff I thought was true is not true.
And that is the ideal. And I think that I don't want our listeners to be able to fast forward through this and be like, those bastards, they don't know the pain. Easy for you to say, Savannah, you wrote 2 books, mother beep. I mean, they love us. Beep, beep. They love us, but we're not this like.
No.
Stop. Our names are Polly and Anna. Like, we understand that there is this kind of Norman Rockwell-esque cross-dressing, you know, Thanksgiving that we're painting for you. And it's not perfection. It really is. It's a life goal. Being a supportive partner and being in relationship with a crossdresser, I don't think it has to look, it can look a lot of different ways. And how it can look at best could be a movie night on Saturday night where you're snuggling under the covers and you're both in femme mode because that's how you want to exist together. Or it can be going through their clothes and telling them what looks good and what doesn't look good. It doesn't have to be this extended hour upon hour kind of thing, or even like it could be a once a month thing.
Yeah.
It could be a FaceTime call from the freaking office with your feminine partner in the other room because you can't face them, but you're really working on it. So you're literally going to face them, get it,
yep,
through FaceTime,
yeah,
and have some sort of relationship as best as you can.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
And so setting these intentions for this new year, know that like, it doesn't have to be big. It can be little, it could be minute. It could be leaving a message, a love note for your partner, you know, on top of their favorite shirt and being like, hope you have a great day, Chelsea, love your wife, you know, just something that was so little that can speak such volumes.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
For your connection. It doesn't have to be them even being in the same presence with each other, both dressed as women. It doesn't, it could, to have it serve that purpose of, I love my partner, they love me, and this is where we're able to meet as we. Did you hear that?
I tell you what, you are Dr. Seuss in the best regards. Look at you. The little love note with the feminine name attached.
Right.
That's so validating. Buying a small, seemingly insignificant gift that also supports their feminine nature, whether it's perfume or an article of clothing or a chain or bracelet or whatever. Guess what you got?
I'm raising my hand, everybody, because I thought of the sweetest thing that you could do. You could get your cross-dressing partner like a subscription, like if they like fashion, like a subscription to Vogue, or like, or get them those girly little things. They're look up Ipsy. I think it's ipsy.com, or it's an app. And basically you type in the different things you're looking for, skincare, hair care, nail care, whatever you're interested in, or whatever your significant other is interested in. And then once a month comes these sweet little bento. I mean, I have a hoarding problem, so it became a little bit much when my mother-in-law would hand me like a giant sandwich, you know, a giant bag of like 200 products,
yeah,
but it gives, it's just that little feminine thing that your partner can do for you that doesn't cost a lot at all. It's just that little brush of love that they need that you can give them to be like, I see you, I love you. I may not be able to, these are my limitations, but here's how I love you.
And again, that is just like the process too. If, for instance, you can't occupy the same physical space with your cross-dressing partner, let's say, but you bought them like a lip gloss because you thought of Chelsea in that moment when you were at Walgreens. You said, oh my God, I think this would look really cute on them. And then you present that. I can guarantee you that's going to be taken with such love.
Such love. Or like just this listener, just this beautiful exchange that you had with her, just, you know, just giving advice or giving well wishes to her about how she could meet her person where they're at. Like if there's a place that they are hiding their pantyhose, just putting like a little sexy thong. All right. I immediately went there. Like I immediately had to go blue. Like one of the wives, sexy thongs, but like also like Hershey's kisses or like a little note to say, I love you. And I love your femme self. I think if you, I don't know, that they may be a little bit embarrassed in the beginning or not know how to respond or feel whatever the need to say something or not say something. But then that's another conversation.
Yeah.
Like if that made them feel uncomfortable, be like, well, you don't have to acknowledge it. Just know that I love you. And this is, I want to show love. Like,
right. You know, right. Like I said, love comes in lots of forms. It doesn't have to be, you know, occupying the same space, love and support. And, you know, when you're celebrating and supporting someone, it takes many forms, and those forms can be as trite sounding as like this little cute little love note, as if you're teenagers again and passing notes in school. That may seem insignificant, but I can guarantee you it has huge, huge impact. Especially for those of us who've spent our lifetimes feeling not loved in that capacity.
Right.
So the littlest, and this is not to say it's insignificant, but the littlest gesture has the biggest effect.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's super, super important. And what I want to say also, while speaking to this lovely woman through Instagram, you know, we talked about shame. And I, again, in my research, I'm like, well, what does that mean? How can I overcome shame? You know me, I went to the Google and I said, overcoming childhood shame, right? And I just want to run through the titles very quickly.
Yeah.
To overcome shame, there are ways of healing from toxic shame, it says. And so the exploration includes acknowledging that there is a problem. So I admit I have a problem, sharing the problem, sharing the idea that I'm letting you know that I've been indoctrinated to believe this about myself, and this is why I'm shameful. So it's one thing to acknowledge your present state of self when it comes to your shame, but it's also number three is looking for the root cause, looking for the origins of that shame. Whereas you and I spoke about, and I mentioned it in my TEDx talk, is that when I'm sitting around a table with my family who I love, and they are my guardians and my biggest champions and my protectors when you're a small child, and you hear them talk down and condescendingly about, you know, how weird it is that the neighbor boy is wearing heels and let's make fun of him, that goes a long way to saying, oh, maybe I won't share my love of heels with you.
Yeah. 100%.
And so that's, and like, and I hadn't thought about that. I don't think I spoke about it, but I hadn't thought about that moment in that being said to me until very recently. And that's a span of 35 years. That I had not thought about that connection between who I am today and something that was stated to me when I was a child. So looking for
I always think about that.
Do you?
Since you told me that story, I've thought about that at least 14 times where I'm just like, that's so, and it's so kind of like an average story in an average land and in at millions and billions of people's houses.
Yeah.
Like how many people had the neighbor boy that wore the heels that were discussed at the dinner table, how many people on your block, how many people, you know what I'm saying? But yet it's such a pivotal memory.
Yeah.
So that one comment they had was a symbol that you carried through every single bit of a scenario that you, like, you measured things against. Oh, I can't tell them that because the neighbor boys wear heels. Yeah. Oh, I can't tell, you know what I mean?
It was like that pebble that turned into a snowball. Rolling down the hill, getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. You're absolutely right. That moment was the seed that was a foundation for everything else that came after it.
Because I've been in therapy for so long, I'm able to communicate with my daughter kind of the thread of how something got to where to today. So like I'll respond in a certain way, or like something will happen between us. Sorry, I reacted that way because when I was a kid, they used to do this kind of thing. And it's just been kind of a part of our narrative, obviously, for a mother who's just trying to undo her past. But yet as parents and as adults, it's popping up for us, especially when we are now the parent to a same-sex child. And me as a young child was abused by my same-sex parent. It's inevitable. So I think that if we, the more research we can do and the more undoing, it's not just like, look over the past, man, like, like, let's head to a brighter tomorrow. I don't want to be negative, man. But don't you know that I sounded like my brother, right? But
the first thing I thought of.
But all of that affects the here and now.
Yes.
Especially absolutely. When it comes to something as deeply personal as parenting a child, or fears popping up, or different responses. Oh, like, sorry, I just said that weird thing that didn't belong to me. It belonged to the entire, like, 1989 through 1977 parental bracket for how people responded back then. Like, that's not how I really feel.
Yeah.
This is how I feel now. So just surfacing back to our topic at hand, this person's, so the crossdresser's response to, like, not wanting to be close to this loving partners, like, let's do lunch. And they're like, no, you know what I mean? Like, I've been hiding for so long. I don't know how to be. So I'm just going to like camp out for a bit, if you don't mind.
Yeah. And again, some of that's trauma based. Some of that is comfort based. Some of that is, I don't know why I feel this way, but I feel like
all of it is trauma based.
Yeah. It's
all of it.
Like I said, while we are trying to kind of like diagnose maybe this specific person, we don't know what's going on in that person's head and how they got there and why they still have a propensity to maybe hide themselves away, even though the partner's like, I am fine with you doing it with me. I don't know why you have to squirrel yourself away to do it. It's like, and we will find out more as that unravels, of course. And it goes to my next point of recognizing the signs, you know, recognizing why you feel trauma, why you feel shame. The next thing is learning to forgive yourself. You know, you're talking about like, hey, man, brighter tomorrow, man, forget the past. It's like, it's really not about forgetting the past. It's about forgiving yourself in the present for anything in the past that brought you to this moment. So forgive yourself and like, know that you're okay. Know that there is no shame in who you are, which I think at the apex of this conversation is about forgiving yourself for all those things that indoctrinated you in the past, and knowing the self you are this moment is the perfect person you are in this moment.
Just imagine, just to come to the end of this horrible battle of shame and trauma and all this, just to find out that, holy shit, you did nothing wrong. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You did nothing wrong. You did not consent to the pain and suffering that you experienced. It just kind of happened. So now our job is to spend the rest of our lives unpacking that shame and figure out how we can just live with it in some sort of way, what we can do with it, either creatively through our gender expression, through the music we listen to, the writing on Facebook and Instagram, why we light up for certain reasons and other reasons not. Like we must be investigators of our past so that we don't recreate it, so that it's constantly being flipped on its head and be like, I know why you're there. Why you're there. I'm going to go this way. Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. And it is so powerful in all measures of life. Understanding your trauma, understanding your shame, understanding your triggers, you know, even in arguments. This is not talking about cross-dressing. We're talking about just in general between any two parties, any two people. It's like when you like say, I'm blah, 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 and you're getting very upset about something and you're pointing fingers at others. Well, the other person is now affected by your aggression. And then that person is going to have their own trauma about how they react to that. And then like coming back to the table and say, well, what was the genesis of this? Why did you feel that way? Or why did you made me feel that way? Or why did I feel that way? It's like in all ways of life, in all walks of life, it's about investigating those things that hold us back from being utterly positive, utterly upbeat. You know, we are all face trauma. We're all products of trauma. We're all carry bags full of trauma and baggage. And it's about unraveling those things a little bit at a time.
The trauma trolley is here. Come on, rad the shame and rad it. First stop, your childhood memories. All right, we've got a trauma at Aunt Dee Dee's.
Oh, I just want to plug in right here. Episode 17, entitled Shame, 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 if you want to revisit
shame,
that.
Shame, shame, shame.
For those of us who are thinking, wow, this sure is a lot about shame, you always can revisit our episode 17 for lots more about the same topic. I just want to say this will be an unfolding and ongoing conversation I have with this person. And, you know, even she has her own things that she's dealing with. She's dealing with her own grief about thinking she's losing her boyfriend because the boyfriend wants to be more feminine. And what does that balance look like? Everybody comes from their own places and she's coming from her own place. She's trying to be supportive. And really, this is such a new experience. Mm-hmm. Just in general, this is something that's not something you can draw past experiences from. Yes, right. We all know how to be loving, supportive, and celebrate somebody else. But like, this is something where you're celebrating something that they don't necessarily seem to want to celebrate for themselves, right. At least not in the same way that you think they should. So it's about having those conversations. And the last point of the overcoming shame is finding that professional support beyond just the two of you, which you are a big proponent of. Everybody should find therapy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, being able to have that extra person where Judy had Michelle and Michelle mm-hmm. had Judy to talk to about me behind mm-hmm. my back, you know, just to, and again, not in a bad way, behind my back is not a bad statement. It's just saying they had each other to commiserate about me if talking to me was not the most straightforward way to do it.
Yeah. And just the fact that you don't view your partner as disgusting and a disgrace is already like such a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even if there's some of that kind of echoing throughout your ancestry, that could be kind of busy work that you do to just keep loving your partner, even if they're running, at least you can kind of read the manual in the meantime on how to be a loving partner and how to examine your own shit about how you view male to female transformation.
Yeah.
How you were taught about it. Was it on the television? Was it through someone who lived on your block? Was it through, you know, this kind of homophobic lens?
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's pack that open.
Yeah.
All right. Now, what do you think your parents would think if they knew? Oh, they know? Great. Or they don't know. Or have you told a friend? Why haven't you told a friend? So there's a lot of kind of work. It's kind of like teaching, you know, colored individuals, teaching white individuals about racism. Well, that's not really their job. So it's not really the job of the crossdresser. It is kind of ish, but it's not so much their job to spend 24/7 teaching them on how to be a more tolerant and loving person.
Right.
Right. Or explaining like their first trauma. Like, oh, it stems from when I was 5 and it's so sad. Like they'll want to commemorate with you for only so long before they're like, okay, can I wear the dress now, mommy? You know what I mean? So So it's just kind of like in this time of being woke or having it be a cancel culture and a woke culture, if you will, we have the best chances of getting it right if us as the individual do all the work we can on our own prejudice, or else we'll just come across so fear-based when we approach our cross-dressing loved one that it will just be so freaky.
Right. And to your point of the cross-dresser being the educator in all cases, one is exhausting. Two, it might not be their strength to educate you because they might not even understand themselves to the point that you need answers for.
Largely, they won't know themselves. And every discussion that they're going to have with you on behalf of their cross-dressing self, not only are they expected to figure out stuff they don't have all the answers for, but they are now the representative of all other cross-dressers because of however this person, whether they're with them now or 10 years from now, is going to view cross-dressers.
Yes,
it's like no pressure, but like with any marginalized group, I think that you feel this pressure of being this like individual or talking about your, like for me, like being Jewish, like I say Jews do this a lot of times when really it's just kind of me doing that. And it's just kind of funny, you know, Jews like to talk about being Jews. I'm not just saying that. It's like a thing. Yeah. Like they like somewhere in the conversation with someone, you're going to know they're Jewish.
I will let you tell me that's true.
Just keep an ear out. It's okay.
I will very well do that.
Anywho.
But in closing, thank you so much for this. I'm so glad you were able to meet Michelle earlier on.
God.
That was awesome. And, you know, that comes full circle from her episode that you and I spoke about that reveal, which again, it's nice to hear now all these months later, how she feels about it in person.
Is she adorable? Like she is just a love.
She is absolutely, absolutely so.
Yeah. And thank you so much to that lovely listener, that significant other that came forward and connected with you about the angst that she's going through in terms of loving her partner. And I think that maybe, just maybe, with life and love and a whole lot of tenderness,
nice. Well done.
That things will be different when, or she'll be able to listen to this episode kind of upon reflection in terms of there being a vast leap in a different direction.
Well, as of the taping of this episode, she had finished episode 1 of the podcast. Ah. So to see the, you know, our lives, our origin stories, you and I,
right,
and kind of like the genesis of her walk on this podcast journey.
Yeah.
And then to hear when it comes to episode 72.
You're going to be our best friends.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. And be able to hear what she had said today to me versus how she feels when she actually gets to this episode. So
how cool is that?
That's very cool, actually.
I think we should do a quick shout out before we end this and say, you have made it to this point. If you have made it to this episode, you are fully not the person you were. Fully understood the cross-dressing experience, at least at the age of a 72-year-old, which is a hell of a lot of wisdom.
That's right. We're giving you every bit of wisdom we have.
And hopefully you continue listening after this.
Yeah, I hope so.
I don't want to lose you on this episode. No, like, see, I peaked.
Yikes. We'll try to keep it inviting for all listeners. To
So inviting for everyone and everyone with us who's been listening up until this point. That's a great reminder. Thank you for making it to this moment with us.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And like we always tell you, every Wednesday, we will have new content for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're happy to share. Today was a very personal triumph and it warmed my heart to share Michelle with you, Julie. It's just one of those things that, like you said, was a pivotal moment in a lot of people's lives and all for the better.
It was so beautiful. And most of when I was speaking with her is just how much I love her as family, like how much since you and I have met and I met Judy that I just feel like I know we know how we'd be if we were together in the same room. It's family. There's such love. Like I've become amazingly good friends with Judy. Amazingly good. Amazingly good, Charlie. No, I feel like so much has happened in our lives. I am around for. Mm-hmm. And you were around for that. It was full circle to meet her because I feel like I already know her. So that was, and the influence she's had in your life.
Yes, absolutely. Without a doubt.
So
I loved her before that. And I love her just as much, if not more, as, you know, somebody who is a champion.
And I'm literally in love with her tattoos.
They're pretty epic. For sure.
They're watercolor style. It's like wicked trendy and has been for very long time. Anywho, I won't keep you for much longer. I know you have your darling family there for only a limited amount of time. And so we will wrap this up in a bow and with deep love for you, Savannah. I don't know what to say. You're just the best.
Oh, thank you. And you are an amazing part of my life as well.
Big hugs. This has been wonderful. And to everyone, I say bye for now.
Until next time.
You can find me on Facebook at Savannah Hawk or at Living with Crossdressing and on Instagram at Savannah Hawk. Remember, that's HAUK. And to learn more, go to my website, livingwithcrossdressing.com.
And you can find me on Instagram and Facebook at Fox and Hanger or at Julie MTF Style, as well as on our website at foxandhanger.com.
Julie, it's your moment.
The Fox and the Phoenix podcast uses Anchor. Copyright 2022. Yes, nailed it.
If you enjoy our content and want to make it easier for others to find us, please share with your friends. Tap the subscribe or follow button to the show wherever you're listening. Give it a 5-star rating or leave a review.
And for show ideas or comments, contact us through the podcast on Facebook at Fox and Phoenix Podcast or on Instagram at the Fox and the Phoenix Podcast _.